All right, let's turn this morning to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18, you'll probably recognize that chapter. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to read the whole chapter, but you all know that Elijah one day stood and declared in the word of the Lord that wasn't going to rain until he said so, and he didn't say so for 3.5 years. And you get down to verse 17 in the midst of all this, and it came to pass, 18:17, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel? It's your fault." He answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel into Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together into Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, thank you this morning for letting us be here. It's been a busy week. I know that folks have scrambled around Thanksgiving holidays, and now fight traffic. We'll be fighting traffic for the next month, Lord, with shopping and all that kind of stuff. It's easy, once again, to be distracted. It's easy for us, Lord, to get our minds off of our business and our hearts set on things other than what they ought to be. We pray that you'd help us here this morning. And, Lord, if there's somebody here that's never trusted Jesus Christ, I pray once again, Lord, that you would deal with their hearts about some things. It is not sufficient to sit on a fence. It's not sufficient to rest between in the valley between two mounts of opinion and presume that not having an opinion is just fine. We ask that you will bless her this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this, of course, is a really dramatic scene that everybody here is pretty familiar with, where Elijah, I mean, you talk about the classic quote-unquote Hollywood drama or novel drama. There is no more powerful drama, I suppose, that exists than that I'm right and everybody else is wrong. You know, how many novels, how many movies have been that it's the whole world essentially against one guy, and that guy's right, that guy has the truth, and so on and so forth. You know, the difference between this story and the ones in the world is that this one's true. And this guy was speaking for God, and that's what made him right and everybody else wrong. Now, first of all, I should say, this is history. What you read in 1 Kings chapter 18, just a small portion that we read, plus how all this ends up with fire falling from heaven, the Baalite priests and the prophets of the groves and so on being utterly humiliated and then executed, and then the subsequent rain that came after 3.5 years of drought and all those things. Now, you understand, folks, that really happened. This is narrative history. There's not much of anything in 1 Kings chapter 18 that needs to be interpreted by anybody. It's a true history. It's a true narrative story that's told. People actually saw, actually viewed, actually watched the unfolding of these things take place. You say, "Well, I don't know that I believe the Bible, especially that Old Testament stuff." Well, you believe there's a Battle of Gettysburg, right? Well, yeah, that's supposed to be a historical fact. Besides, we have pictures. Oh, yeah, it's the pictures. Well, you know, there's a battle fought in 480 B.C. named the Battle of Thermopylae, out on the coast of Greece, where the Persian army, a humongous Persian army, invaded Greece, and 300 Spartans and a relative handful of other men held that battleground for, I believe it was 7 days. There are no pictures of that one. You believe it? Furthermore, about that, there was only, basically, everything we know about that battle was attested to by one historian, a very a respected historian. His name was Herodotus. But you don't read much of else. Don't have many other sources about that particular battle. And it probably doesn't bother you that Thermopylae actually happened, even though it's only attested to by one guy, and you don't have any pictures. But I don't know about 1 Kings 18. I mean, that's stretching it. Yeah, I know. Whatever. Just consider in a historical fact. Just consider, I know that you're a Bible believer, just consider that a large number of people saw that thing happen. But it wasn't just historical. It was also prophetic. Because it turns out there's a day coming that Elijah will come back again with Moses. And according to the scriptures, those guys once again are that fire will once again go forth out of their mouths and destroy some of their adversaries. That once again, there will be a great drought so that it doesn't rain until they say so again. And by the way, they're going to turn some water to blood and all kinds of things. So the things that you read sometimes in the Old Testament, in this particular passage even, is also prophetic for the future. You say, well, what are you getting at with that? Well, consider, folks, that you live in a day of prophecy too, by the way. Because you have, quote-unquote, seen, some prophetic things come to pass. I mean, as much as we know anything of history, we know that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Okay? We know that. We've, quote-unquote, seen that happen. Many of you probably weren't born before 1948. Some were, some weren't. But if you were, you saw the rebirth of Israel as a nation in 1948. That's one of the most profound prophetic events in the history of mankind. That a nation that was scattered would be regathered and given land back. And even though they're still battling over it, we've seen that come to pass. We see today wars, rumors of wars, signs, earthquakes, and all manner of things that tell us that the second coming of Jesus Christ draweth nigh. See, you've seen those things. You say, well, there are a lot of things that we haven't seen. I know that there are some things that you haven't seen. The reason you haven't seen them is it's not time for you to see them, right? Somebody says, well, you know, I never saw hell. Well, it's not time for you to see it, I guess. Say, well, I never saw any signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Well, it's not time yet. You know what you never saw? You never saw the sunrise at 2:00 in the morning, at least at this latitude. But that doesn't stop you from believing that the sun will rise at 6 or 7, right? Why didn't it rise at 2? Because it's not time for it to rise yet. So, see, we send here like these people. See, these people sat perched at a critical juncture where there were some things that they had seen. But there was also some things that they had not seen. They had not seen fire fall from heaven yet. And so they were betwixt and between. And that's kind of where you are. If you've paid attention, if you've read your Bible, then you've seen some things. But there are some other things that you have not seen. Just because they haven't happened yet doesn't mean they won't happen. In fact, we're sure that they will. So I want you to consider these historical events and their prophetic events, but it's also important that you understand that these are also personal events, okay? See, individual people walked up Mount Carmel and saw these things take place, right? Individual people were perched here, and Elijah comes and says, how long do you remain undecided? You're sitting here. There's some things you have seen, and there are some things that you're going to see. You got to make a decision, all right? So consider it personal. And it's consider it that when Elijah got down here, he says this in verse 21, and this is actually the text, all right? Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Elijah confronts them right away. I mean, he doesn't serve them donuts, doesn't serve them coffee. There's no small talk. They walk up the hill, and he immediately slaps them right in the face about their opinions. Opinions. Oh, man. If there has ever been any sacred ground, it's the sacred ground of men's opinions, isn't it? I mean, folks, I mean, what a, you know, all the excuses that anybody can make up, it can be covered by saying, well, that's just my opinion, and that's just your opinion. I mean, of all the indignation that people can arouse in themselves, you just critique somebody's opinion. You just think that you're right and everybody else is wrong. I tell you what, I have my opinion, and my opinion's as good as your opinion any day, so you shut up before I call the cops. Amen, it happens. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, Elijah jumps right on them and lands right in the middle of their face with this thing about their opinions. And then I took note that, and whether you know it or not, there are only two passages in the Bible that mentions anybody's opinions. Now, I don't conclude that nobody else in the Bible had an opinion besides a guy in Job and besides these issues here, but it is important, don't you think, to see that the Lord only brought up the word opinion twice in the Word of God. And those two times makes for some very instructive material. I'd like to preach to you this morning for a little while about opinions. I'll just begin by breaking right in. And, you know, in this passage here, Elijah says in verse 21, how long halt ye between two opinions? He says, if the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Well, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? The only opinion that mattered to Elijah, and I gotta say more about this later, the only opinion that mattered to Elijah, and I believe God was putting words in Elijah's mouth here on you, therefore, you can conclude that the only two opinions that matter with God is which God you serve. Okay? I mean, if the Bible is any directive, if the Bible is any litmus test, then in only two places, and we'll look at the other in a little while, the first thing you better be concerned about is when it comes to somebody's opinion, God doesn't care what your opinion of the election is. God does not care what your opinion is of who ought to have been Miss Universe this year. He does not care, and he doesn't care about Oprah's opinion. Okay? He cares about whether you are stuck between serving God and serving another God. Now, with that, I need to ask a question, and this is going to be this sermon is going to be preached in the form of a few asked questions. I need to ask what an opinion is. What is opinion? Well, you saw here that the opinion that God cares about revolves around who you serve, right? Who you serve and who you follow. But I'll resort to Webster's just because it really makes good preaching here this morning. Let me just read you a definition right out of the dictionary. I'm talking about Webster's 1828. And see if this slaps Christianity right in the face. Opinion, noun. The judgment which the mind forms of any proposition, statement, theory, or event, the truth or falsehood of which is supported by a degree of evidence that renders it probably, but does not produce absolute knowledge or certainty. Now that whole definition started with the word, the judgment. Two words, the judgment. I thought we weren't supposed to judge. God says, how long halt ye between two opinions? And the definition of opinion is the judgment which the mind forms of any proposition. And we're constantly told not to judge. Don't you find that interesting? Part of the rest of that definition went on to read that, you know, you have to come to this opinion by certain evidence, but that evidence does not produce absolute knowledge or certainty. Now, I'm told in Proverbs that the Lord gave me words so that I would know the certainty of the words of truth. The next definition goes like this. Opinion is when the assent of the understanding is so far gained by evidence of probability. And then my mind flipped over. It's nice to have a Bible, you know what? Because the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've shown that we're supposed to have judgment from the Scriptures. I was given the words of God to be certain in Proverbs 22. And I have evidence, and the evidence of what we hold to be true is the faith that we have contained in the Bible. It goes on to say, opinion is when the assent of the understanding is so far gained by evidence of probability that it rather inclines to one persuasion than to another. Persuasion. Paul said, I am persuaded. I am persuaded I can't finish the quote now, but I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You say, what are you getting at here, Brother Stevens? Oh, before I go on. It's not used anymore, but the word opinion is also a verb that's not used anymore. You know what that verb means? To think. Ow. Oh, that hurts. Especially for anybody that voted for you know who. Anyway. I'm talking about what an opinion is, and I'll be quick, but after I look at that definition, there's some things that we can come to a real brief summation of that's very plain. The Lord says, or Elijah says for the Lord, how long halt ye between two opinions? Well, first of all, Elijah, and therefore God, expected these people to have an opinion. Now, we are told these days that to be opinionated is to be bad. I tell you that having the wrong opinion is bad. But you're supposed to come to the right opinion. You know, the other thing you learn here is that you're going to be accountable for your opinions. And that should not be too big a surprise. I mean, every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. People go and hide behind opinions, you understand? People just act like their opinion just reads flippantly without any basis for anything. That, you know, that ought to be some sanct and sacred ground. That's not true. You're going to be held accountable for your opinion. You know, the other thing that you learn here in this passage, he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Your opinion is open to critique. Your opinion is open to question. Why do you hold that opinion?
Well, I just tell you better. I don't have to answer that.
Well, no, you don't have to. But I'm not God, and there's coming a day that you will have to answer for it. Your opinion is open to question. Your opinion is open to critique. Elijah was very intrusive here. How long are you bunch of dummies stuck between two opinions? Come on, make up your mind right now. Very intrusive fellow, don't you think? Not very polite. Apparently, too, your opinion is either right or wrong. Furthermore, a lack of opinion is no place to hide. They were hiding between two opinions. They were seeking not to have reached an opinion about who they should serve. Your opinion is no place to hide. Sometimes, you know, we'll be talking to people about the Lord, and we'll come to a disputed point, and they'll say, well, that's just my opinion, and you have your opinion. And we're supposed to say, oh, yes, holy, holy opinion. Hey, your opinion, there's nothing sacred about your opinion. It's yours as an American. You can have it. You can hold it. And I wouldn't throw a baseball bat at you at all for whatever opinion you have. But it's no place to hide. It's no place to hide from God. Furthermore, you see in this passage right here, and when we're talking about an opinion, then I'm going to something else, okay? It says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Your opinion demands action. Okay? Elijah says, listen, if you... If God's God, then serve Him. And if Baal's Baal, then follow Him. But you got to move, man. You got to move. All right? So Elijah says this, and nobody moves. These have been called Fifth Amendment Christians. They pled the Fifth. In verse 21, if Baal, then follow Him. How long halt ye between two opinions? And the people answered him not a word. I mean, he stood there for 3 minutes, and all he heard was crickets. How long halt you between two opinions? All right, well, now we know what an opinion is. There's something else we need to ask. Verse 21. How long halt ye between two opinions? What does halt mean? When a police officer yells, halt, do you know what to do? Then Corey said, you're supposed to stop. These people were stopped between two opinions. Now, you know what, folks? There's places in this world that you best not stop. We used to live down here on Coon Rapids Boulevard, and anytime we had to go to Cub Foods or Walmart or whatever, or for that matter, to church, we had to cross a railroad track. And we lived by those railroad tracks. And I got news for you, folks. There is a place not to stop. Now, if you stopped before the tracks and waited long enough, you were fine. If you stopped by the tracks and then went soon enough, you were fine. But you didn't want to wind up between the two spots. You really didn't. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? These people were halted where they shouldn't have halted. We now live up on Viking Boulevard up there in Oak Grove, and actually we moved back into dangerous territory because when you pull out on Viking there, unless we go kind of the longer way around, you know, from one direction somebody's coming up a hill and you only have about 300 yards, 200 yards before they're on you. And from the other direction there's a curve, and so conceivably, with somebody going fast enough, by the time that way's clear, but you look that way, the guy could be on you before you pull back out. See, there's just some places that you don't want to halt. Right? Now, Elijah got on these folks because they were halted between two opinions. Now, I got news for you. Whether it's recognized in the media or not, there's a right opinion and there's a wrong opinion. And when it comes to matters of faith, listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and the Lord delivered to us the faith once delivered unto the saints. That faith is found in the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And like I said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're supposed to make up your mind about God. You're supposed to make up your mind about Jesus Christ. Again, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You're supposed to make up your mind. Now, he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? You know what, folks? There's something I don't believe that folks get a hold of too well about the devil. Do you know that Israel at this juncture was perfectly in the devil's will? They were halted between two opinions. See, there's something that I think that people misunderstand. The devil's main strategy and then tactic is noise. It's sheer volume. It's sheer numbers of voices. And that's to grant confusion. It's to obscure things. What I believe that people have misunderstood is that, did you know that Satan is not out to convert you to Satanism? You know, once in a while you run up on a fruitcake or read about a fruitcake, and he's painted his nails black and he drinks blood and sacrifices cats, dogs, and small children. And, you know, I mean, this is a satanic fruitcake. And you know, when Satan wins one of those guys over, you know, that's I'm sure always a plus to him. But did you know he doesn't care that you, whether you're a Satanist or not? He couldn't possibly care less about that. He doesn't concern himself with your specific doctrinal creeds. He really is not all that concerned about that. It doesn't really concern to him whether you're won over to his side. All he wants is for you to be confused. All he wants is for you to be stuck. He wants you halted between two opinions. If you are halted, if you're an agnostic, you are in the perfect will of Satan. If you are stuck not knowing what to do about this God and Christ and Bible question, you are perfectly in the will of Satan. He's not that interested in you being a blood-drinking Satanist. It's a plus if you are one, but he's got you anyway. He just wants you undecided. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Now, folks, these folks were not only stopped, but there's another definition for the word halt in the Word of God. Have you read passages all over the New Testament where people were maimed and crippled and halt? I want you to know that somebody that's halted between two opinions is crippled. You ever feel that way? You ever felt betwixt and between, and you're crippled there, and you have no power. You're impotent there. You know, James 1 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And you say, well, you know, I wonder how you get out of that. Well, in the same book, you know what it says? It says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The issue with being double-minded is that you need to purify your heart. You have listened to so much noise and so much junk that you've allowed it to cripple you, to halt you between two opinions. People say, well, being opinionated is wrong. No, being opinionated is good if you have the right opinion. If you have the wrong opinion, that's very bad. And by the way, having no opinion is not any better. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Being stuck between two opinions is just as damning as having the wrong opinion. Folks, you got to be right. You got to come to the right opinion. Elijah says, how long halt ye between two opinions? You can only stay where you are for so long without repercussions. You being halt there, did you know being halt there is no excuse? Did you know that if you go out here on Highway 10 and your car breaks down, now could you help it? Probably not. I don't know why you would stop and say your car was broken down if it wasn't. Did you know it's illegal for your car to break down? Do you know they will give you a ticket and tow your car away? Did you know that technically they could really stick it to you, because if you break down and then have to walk somewhere on the freeway, it's against the law for you to walk on the shoulder of the freeway. You can get a ticket for being broken down, have your car towed, have to pay for that, and then get a ticket for walking. Like I said, no, most cops are not usually that hard-nosed or anything, but I'm just saying, being halt is no excuse. Being stopped, broken, halted, and crippled is no excuse. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Now look, again, verse 21. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, then follow Him. All right, when we talked about what opinion is, we've talked about what halt means. Do you know what the issue is? Well, we've said it a couple times already. But you know what the issue is? There's an old quip. It says, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has two and they stink. And that's all cute and everything, but that's not really true. First of all, people have a lot more than two opinions. They have a lot more than two opinions, and more than two of them usually stink. But people have a lot more opinions. They have warehouses. They have entire orchards of opinions. And they have all these issues that they have opinions about. You'll be asked your opinion about this issue and that issue, and we've just gone through a presidential cycle, and what about the issues? Issues and issues. And again, I'm here to remind you folks that I tell you what the devil's interested in. He's interested in muddying the waters. He's interested in obscuring things. When it comes to opinions, there's only two passages in the Bible that even mention the word. They're very instructive. You're dealing with one right now. And did you know that as far as the issues that we're talking about now in the Bible, issue, if you spit, there's been issue come out from you, okay? I mean, issue is bodily fluid or blood or pus or whatever. That can be issue, but when in talking about issues, the way we're talking about issues, did you know that there's only two passages in the Bible that deal with issues? For one, the first one is Psalm 68:20. You don't have to go there. It says, unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Not of death. From death. And it says, In Proverbs chapter 4, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There's only two issues in the Bible that God mentions. Issues from death and the issues of life. That's greatly simplified from what you'll be told in other places. Folks, I'm telling you, the devil is out to confuse you. The devil is out to, by the sheer volume of noise, by the sheer number, cacophony of voices, to confuse you into indecision where you don't have a sound biblical opinion. You've been shouted down often enough that you're happy to crouch down in a valley on the railroad tracks between two opinions. And so Elijah says, how long halt ye between two opinions? You don't want to know what the issue of your opinion, you know what it boils down to? Do you really want to know what all theology branches out from? Verse 21. If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal be God, follow him. I mean, folks, all theology branches out from there. There are other necessary things in theology. But if God is God, follow Him. If He's not, follow somebody else. That's all it is. It's hinted at in another place. I mean, you know, what's the first and great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. The second's likened to it. Shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And all the law and the prophets hang, said Jesus Christ, on those two things. It's really just that simple. Now listen, folks. All the opinions and all of the issues besides God and following God are smoke and mirrors. I mean, if it gets beyond that, it's all smoke and mirrors. See, because it says, if the Lord be God, follow Him. You see, God said that Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ said He was God. You don't let a Mormon or JBW say, well, Jesus Christ never said He was God. He did too. Yes, He did. In fact, when He said He was the Son of God, even the Pharisaical and Sadduceical Jews knew He was saying that He was God. That's why they sought to kill Him. So anytime, well, He just didn't ever say He was God. Yes, He did. Just shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. He did say that He was God. See, God said that His own Son was God, and so Jesus Christ said, take up your cross and follow Me. That's where it all branches from. Everything else is mud in the water. Now, here's the deal. Jesus Christ wants something from you that the devil doesn't want. Jesus Christ says, listen, if I'm Christ and if I'm God, follow Me. If somebody else is God, follow Him. The devil says, well, you know, if you want to follow Me, that's fine. On the other hand, maybe it's best for you to not decide. You know, there's lots of ways to heaven, and you know, you should probably take some time and think about it and study. You know, go to college and take some courses and see if you can come to an informed conclusion. You don't want to just go by what that idiot preacher says. If the devil can say, yea hath God said, don't think that he's not going to try to undermine you. Parents, I don't think that he wouldn't try to undermine me, just a stupid preacher. Okay? See, the Lord Jesus Christ wants something from you that the devil doesn't care about. All the devil cares about is to keep you confused. If he can keep you undecided, it's just as good as having the wrong opinion. The Lord Jesus Christ wants something else. He says, listen, if I'm God, follow Me. If I'm not, follow somebody else. But get on and get off. Let's go. All right? Now, we've talked about what an opinion is. We've talked about what halt means. We've talked about what the issue is, okay, these people, I said before, they came to this juncture, and this is Israel, they had seen some things, but it's also plain that they hadn't seen fire fall from heavens, because you get down to verse 24, call ye on the name of your gods, I will call on the name of the Lord. He's talking to the Baalites at this point, And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. I mean, before, when he said, you know, if God's God, follow him. If Baal's God, follow him. People answered not a word. But he said, well, whoever answers by fire, let him be God. And the people said, yeah, let that be the way. Okay? So these people, there are some things that they had seen. There are some things that they had not seen. They had not seen fire fall from heaven. Right? But they were on a critical juncture. And remember, Elijah says, what's your opinion? He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Now, folks, you are like these people. You are perched here in the last days. You're in a precarious spot. Believe it or not, there are some things that you have seen. You say, well, I'm not saved and I'm not born again and all that kind of stuff. I'm not into that religious experience stuff because I haven't seen anything. Yeah, actually, you have seen some things. And I can tell you right now that you have an Elijah in your face right now saying, how long halt ye between two opinions? You see, these people had seen something. You want to see what these people had seen? And I'm not talking about all the way back to Egypt. We can go all the way back there if you want. But I'm just talking about within, you know, this generation of people. Look what they had seen. Look in 1 Kings chapter 17, just real quick. Back one chapter. Look at what they had seen. 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Folks, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. It still had not rained when those people went up to Mount Carmel. In fact, that was the end of this little showdown, as there was a rain, right? Well, Elijah had prophesied and said, it ain't going to rain. Now, come on, folks. I know he said that to Ahab. Don't you think the word spread? I mean, In dealing with this, if you read this passage through, Ahab had spread throughout the country trying to find Elijah because he blamed Elijah. So the people knew that Elijah had prophesied. You know what these people had seen? These people had seen fulfilled prophecy. In their days, they had seen fulfilled prophecy in their days. Even if that wasn't good enough, go back to 1634. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite, build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof, and Abram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof. While all the way back in Joshua, there was prophesied that whoever rebuilt Jericho would lay the foundation, and his son, this guy lost his son for rebuilding that city. That's fulfilled prophecy. You say, well, I haven't seen anything. Yes, you have. You have a testament. You have a Bible that tells you things that happened. I see, it's not very much appreciated, and if you just consider it, we've been through this before. But folks, you take 48 prophecies fulfilled on the day that Jesus Christ died for our sins. There, you can number 48 of them. All 48 of them had been prophesied hundreds of years before, and they came to pass. Now, just so you know, do you know what the statisticians, say the chances of that occurrence? 48 prophecies, right? Now, I'm not a big statistics guy as far as knowing them, but they say there's one chance in 10 to the 157th power of 48 prophecies of Jesus Christ coming to pass as stated, and all of them came to pass in one day. Do you know what number 10 to the 157th power represents? No, you don't. Nobody does. It's unfathomable, if that's a word. Infathomable? Unfathomable. You can't fathom it. You can't get your head around it, all right? But you say, see, you have seen prophecy fulfilled. You really have. I'll tell you something else that these people saw. Look in 1 Kings 17, 21, while the drought is going on, there was a little occurrence that happened. Elijah went in and sat down with a woman and her kid, and they ate for the entire time, miraculously. And at the end of the thing, this woman's kid died. And she said, man, what's all this about? And so you get all the way down to verse 21, he stretched himself upon the child three times, cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. You know what these people had seen? These people had seen in their day a resurrection from the dead. Okay, you've seen that. You've seen that. See, they had all the evidence they needed to have already made a decision. And so Elijah says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Right? There's one other thing I want you to see. Well, a couple other things I want you to see. So, what stopped them from coming to an opinion? Look in 1 Kings 18 again. You say, well, they hadn't seen anything happen yet. They hadn't seen the final. Look down in chapter 18, verse 39. Chapter 18, verse 39. And when all the people saw it, let's go back to verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. They didn't say, we'll follow Him. They just said, the Lord, He's the God. You say, okay, well, see, Brother Stevens, all they needed to do was see something and they would believe. Well, now, wait a minute. Israel was founded on seeing. From the very beginning, they saw stuff. They saw Moses' rod turn to a serpent and the rod eat up Pharaoh's rod, and then they wrote Moses pick it back. They saw all those famine, the famine and the plagues and the pestilences and everything in Egypt. They walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. They had manna fall before their eyes every morning except for Saturday morning, every day from the sky, and they ate of that manna miraculously for 40 years. They had a miraculous entrance into the land. They won miraculous battles. They saw hailstones, you know, the size of Buicks, falling from the sky, killing their enemies. They saw the sun stop in the sky. It was not from lack of seeing. As I said, they had already seen fulfilled prophecy within a chapter. They have seen and heard about a kid raised from the dead in the same chapter. They heard about this woman who Elijah supported throughout the drought and so on, and she and her kid and he ate just fine. Miraculous provision. They'd seen stuff. And just because they saw the fire didn't mean that didn't turn it. You say, well, what was holding them back? Lack of faith. No. No, they had seen all they needed to see to believe, if that was what it was all about. Well, they just maybe they had just never heard it the right way. No, I don't think that was it. You know what I think it was? I think it was urgency. Urgency. See, what do you mean? Well, these people were of no opinion until they got scared out of their wits, and all of a sudden now they needed God again. It became a matter of urgency. Even a drought, a 3.5-year drought, was not urgent enough for them to put their opinion upon the Lord God. It was not until they felt physically threatened and saw this fire fall, and then they're willing. Now let me just tell you a little something. You can say what you want to say. I don't know if there's anybody in here that's lost or not. There's nobody in here that's lost that hasn't been here several times. And if you are lost, it's because you've halted between two opinions. Now, I'll tell you why you haven't made a decision. You haven't made a decision because you got it easy. You haven't made a decision because you don't see the necessity. You haven't made a decision because you're not in the hospital. You haven't made a decision because You know, you're doing fine as we are, and you know, maybe there's a day coming that I'll need to make a decision. The issue for you is urgency. Okay? But Elijah said, how long halt you between two? I'll tell you something. Sitting on that railroad track is a dangerous proposition. Not all trains come through fast and loud. You know that? The next thing that I'm going to say, I don't mean as a criticism. I've told you before, I'm 47 years old. I've been saved for 37 years. And you go,
Here it comes again. And there are some things that I've come to an opinion on. And I stand up here and preach to you those opinions from the Bible all the time. And some of you are growing up in our church, your kids or young people. And I don't mean this as a critique. I don't mean that you mean me disrespect, because I do the same thing. When Dr. Ruckman stood up and said, I'm 3,000 years old and I've seen this and that, you know, I would receive what he said and say, you know, that's right. I agree. That's my opinion too. But there's a difference between reaching an opinion and having an opinion. And you know, I say, well, I'm 47 years old. I've been saved for 37 years. And this is true. And some of you, maybe you're disrespectful and say, yeah, right. Old codger. What does he know? On the other hand, there's some of you that say, yeah, well, he's probably right, and I believe that, and so, That's true. Did you know that there's a difference between knowing something's true and receiving something as true and going, Right? There's a difference. There really is. So I'll tell you, and I don't mean this as a critique. I'm just telling you, there are preteens and teenagers and people in their 20s in here and perhaps 30s. And maybe you're younger than the Lord, that maybe you're older than that. And I'm going to prophesy to you this morning. The Lord's going to put you through some stuff. The Lord's going to put you through some stuff that you've heard about. You've heard it from the pulpit, not just from me, but from Brother Grissom, from Brother Darling, from other preachers that have come through here. And you acknowledge those things as being true, you would call it your opinion. And the Lord's going to put you through it because He needs you to know it, not just because you've received it. He's going to put you through some stuff. He's going to put you through some doubts. He's going to put your faith to the fire so that when you come out of this, you've been on your knees. And now it's not that just that you know that Pastor Stevens says it's true. You know it's true because the Bible knows it's true, and you now know the God of the Bible better than when you started. Okay? You know what their impediment was? Their impediment was urgency. Their impediment was urgency. How long halt you between two opinions? You know that there are people that get killed all the time that die well before their time? Did you know that not everybody that intended to get saved when they were young wound up getting saved before they were dead and in hell? Why isn't that? Because they may have acknowledged that some things were true, but they didn't feel the urgency. And Elijah says, how long halt you between your two opinions? I'm telling you, how long are you going to stay between two opinions? Maybe the opinion is not about whether Christ died for your sins or not. Maybe the opinion's about the Bible. Maybe the opinion's about whether you know you're saved or not. I mean, if you're struggling about whether you're saved or not, how long until you believe what the Bible says about your soul? How long? I mean, the Lord put me through that at 20-plus years old. I had been saved since I was 10 years old. And I was tormenting myself for 2 years. Well, you know what I had to come to? I had to finally come to, and you expect, you know, the Lord to, you know, be real caring and kind and caressing and stuff. But it came to a day where I felt like I wound up with the Lord's finger in my face and saying, how long is it going to be before you believe what I said about your salvation? I promised it to you. You fulfilled it. You believed on me. You repented. You trusted in me over and 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 over again. So when are you going to come to the point that you believe what I said about it? Then I got it. Okay? But the Lord's going to put you through that because you need to know the urgency of it. Now, I told you that there's two passages in the Bible that hold opinions. Turn to Job. Job chapter 32, and you'll find these to be the only two passages in the Scripture where an opinion is mentioned. Elijah says, how long halt ye between two opinions? And so this will be very, very quick. I want to point you to another fellow that had an opinion. Now, he wasn't the only guy that had an opinion, plainly. But he was the only guy, the other guy that had an opinion that the Lord called an opinion. Job goes through his terrible trials, and he has three of his buddies there lashing him with their tongues, right? And finally, the three goons are done. And then you learn that there's a fourth fellow, a fifth fellow, that's been standing there, a fourth friend, a fifth fellow that's been standing by. And his name is Elihu, right? Job 32. And notice what Elihu says three times in succession. Verse 6. Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you my opinion. Verse 10. Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion. Verse 17. I said, I will answer also my part. I will show mine opinion. Elihu had an opinion. There's a very interesting thing that happens at the end of all of this after Elihu through talking and then the Lord's through talking. The Lord lays down the law then to Eliphaz the Temanite and those other two of Job's friends because they had told Job things that weren't true. In fact, those three friends had to go to Job and basically he had to be a priestly mediator for them before they could be forgiven for what they had done and said. It's interesting, though, that the Lord never brought up Elihu. And folks, the only singular thing that you can, the conclusion, I believe, sound conclusion, that you can come to is that Elihu's opinion was God's opinion. If you doubt it, look in chapter 34. I'm almost done. 34, 35, look what Elihu said. This is still in the middle of Elihu's speech. He says in 34, 35, Job hath spoken without knowledge. His words were without wisdom. Now look in 35, 16. Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplieth words without knowledge. Do you know what the first thing out of the Lord's mouth was in Job 38? Look in verse 2. 38:2. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? He said the same thing Elihu said. You know what I conclude from that? Elihu's opinion was God's opinion. Now I said here, Elijah says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God's God, serve him. If Baal's God, follow him. Make up your mind. Okay? Those are the only two issues that matter. Who are you following? Who are you following? And with regard to your opinion, the Lord could not care any less about some of your opinions. You think they're so important, and they're just not important. The only thing that's important is whether your opinion is God's. Does God agree with you? If He does agree with you, it's because you agree with Him. Okay? You know, the Lord doesn't walk around and say, you know, I agree with Elihu. I hadn't made up my mind till now, but I agree with him. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. It happened that Elihu agreed with God. That's the only thing that matters with your opinion. Now, are you agreed with God on His Son? Are you agreed with God on how to get saved? Are you agreed with God on whether you are saved? God knows. You know. You know whether you fulfilled God's standards, if you've crossed the threshold, if you receive Christ as your Savior. Don't you? Do you agree with the Lord? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, in a day where everybody's shooting their mouth off on radio and TV and Lord knows what other kind of media, man's voice is certainly not hard to hear. We are asking you here, Lord, this morning that you'd help us to examine ourselves to make sure that our opinions are God's opinions. We pray, Father, that you'd help us not to halt, be crippled and stopped, betwixt and between, overwhelmed by all of the devil's
words and speeches and objections, teachings, all the things that we hear that confuse and muddy the water. Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Now look, if you've never been saved, you got a decision to make. And what you don't know is that you've already made it, if you haven't made one. Not making a decision for Jesus Christ is as damning as making the wrong one. Having no opinion about Jesus Christ is as damning as having the wrong one. Now listen, have you received Jesus Christ? Have you? When did you receive Jesus Christ? When? When were old things passed away and all things become new? When were you converted? There was a moment, there was a day, there was an hour. You didn't grow into it. When was it? I'll tell you that I personally remember the time. I have not been able to nail down the day because it was years before I started trying to figure out which day it was. So I understand if you don't have a time on the clock and a day on the calendar that you can point to and say, that was the day. I understand that. But I understand there was a day. I remember the incident. I remember the time. I couldn't tell you the time on the clock, but I remember the moment. Do you have one of those moments? There was a day that you were born. Your mom remembers your birthday and your birth time and all the pangs that led up to it. It'd be real dumb for you to say, I've always been here. Well, it's equally dumb for you to say, I've never known a time that I wasn't saved. Because there was a time you weren't saved. You didn't grow into this. When were you saved? If you don't have a time and an incident when you were, you need to come to Jesus Christ. You can't play that game. Is there anybody here that would come with everybody's heads bowed and their eyes closed that would come and say, I am not sure, or for that matter, I know I'm not saved. Maybe it's just that I'm not sure. Without anybody looking around, I'll have someone take you out and show you from the Bible how to know you can go to heaven. Don't play this game. You've seen all you need to see. You've seen all you're going to see. Lord is not going to give you any more to go on next week than you have to go on right now for faith to believe in Jesus Christ. It's a decision that you have to make. It's an opinion that you have to reach. Anybody come? Let's look this way and stand. We'll turn to number 251. 251. Let's sing. Number 251. Thank you.
right, folks. Remember two things. Need to work out some stuff for Jacqueline here. Ladies, if some, or even men too, somebody can help us out with that. If you had intended to try to work in, would you please see me and or Jacqueline? And also, ladies, the sign-up sheet back there for the ladies' thing down in Hastings. Father, we pray that you'll bless now as we're dismissed to go our ways here for a few hours. Pray you'd bless preparations for tonight and to get everybody back safely. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good afternoon.